Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is another update on the FTX situation. The walls are now starting to close in on Sam Bankman-Fried, literally. He's in jail in the Bahamas in a very small cell, and the conditions are fairly grim. And unfortunately for him, as the information comes out from John Ray, who's looking into the company itself, he's been appointed as the new chief executive, it looks like we've got some fairly damning evidence. The following is John Ray's initial summary of his findings at FTX that he gave to the US House last week.
The group's collapse appears to stem from absolute concentration of control in the hands of a small group of grossly inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals who failed to implement virtually any of the systems or controls that are necessary for a company entrusted with other people's money or assets. This is really old-fashioned and embezzlement. This is just taking money from customers and using it for your own purpose. Not sophisticated at all.
So that summary is fairly crystal clear. There are a small number of people who are in charge of FTX who are making some incredibly bad decisions. And John Ray's view is that he sees this as good old-fashioned embezzlement. So this is criminal activity. So as this case unfolds, it looks more likely that FTX was built on fraud rather than clever financial systems. And that's really bad news for Sam Bankman-Fried. So in today's video, I wanted to provide you with a bit more detail on what's going on in the life of Sam Bankman-Fried right now. Everybody loves a good rags-to-riches story. Somebody who's poor, who works really hard, works their way up the greasy pole, and manages to become a millionaire, or even better, a billionaire. Now, that doesn't really apply to Sam Bankman-Fried, because his parents are both university professors. He came from a fairly wealthy background. He had a silver spoon in his mouth from day one, and he managed to become a billionaire under the age of 30. So good for Sam Bankman-Fried. Well done to him. However, unfortunately, it now looks like a lot of that business was built on fraud, and a lot of the money that was put in by investors has disappeared. So this is really the reversal of a rags to riches story. This is a riches to further riches to genuine rags in prison right now. So in today's video, I want to share with you the actual conditions that Sam Bankman-Fried is living in. And just as a comparison, we'll have a look at the Orchid penthouse that he was previously living in the Bahamas. So we'll have a look at the extreme luxury and have a look at how that compares to Fox Hill Prison in the Bahamas. We'll talk about his bail application, because some more details have come out about that regarding some of his medical conditions. We'll talk about his parents' recent visit to the Bahamas and their attempts to try to get him some vegan food. And then we'll go on to talk about what's going on with regards to everybody else. Where is the rest of this management team? Caroline Ellison, Sam Bankman-Fried's ex-girlfriend, who's the chief executive of Alameda Research, who are right at the heart of everything that was going on at FTX. That's where a lot of the money disappeared to. She surely should be involved. She surely must have been arrested by now. We'll also talk about Gary Wang and Nishad Singh, who are the two co-founders of FTX, where they are. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 18 months, because it's estimated that that's how long it's going to take for this case to actually come to court. What's going to happen to Sam Bankman-Fried, whether or not he's going to stay in the Bahamas or be extradited to the USA, and what the likely implications of this are for the crypto markets and the general economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you haven't got time to watch the whole thing, you can skip over stuff. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, super thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested on Monday the 12th of December and charged with 8 counts of fraud. The 8 charges relate to 4 areas of misconduct. Firstly, defrauding customers of FTX. Secondly, defrauding investors in FTX. Thirdly, defrauding the lenders to the hedge fund Alameda Research. And finally, violating campaign finance rules. In total, the charges allege that Sam Bankman-Fried defrauded investors out of $1.8 billion. Following his arrest, Sam Bankman-Fried's lawyers made an official $250,000 bail application based upon his medical conditions, which were presented as depression and insomnia. It was claimed that he wasn't able to get any of the medication that he normally takes for both of those conditions. And apparently it was also suggested that he had ADHD, the attention deficiency disorder. The fact that Sam Bankman-Fried is vegan was also raised as a mitigating factor. However, the judge decided that none of these issues were sufficient to be able to grant bail, and that he considered Sam Bankman-Fried to represent a flight risk. So that means he was concerned that he would disappear off the face of the earth if given bail. And the strong implication was that because $7 billion has vanished from the FTX accounts, that potentially Sam Bankman-Fried would have had access to large amounts of capital, which would have made it much easier for him to disappear.
This is a live look at in the Bahamas. This is Sam Bankman-Fried. You see him there exiting the courthouse. He has been ordered to report back to prison, where he will be held until February 8th. So Sam Bankman-Fried denied bail, and here he is exiting that courthouse. Apparently, you know, in response to the decision, he hugged his parents, he shrugged his shoulders, he was visibly disappointed. Here he is in the custody of the Bahamian authorities. The judge jailing the FTX founder until the case resumes again on February 8th.
So as I mentioned at the start of the video, prior to being arrested, Sam Bankman-Fried was living in a luxurious penthouse in the Bahamas. And it was reported that prior to FTX's collapse, Sam Bankman-Fried had been living with 8 or 9 other members of the FTX executive group, including Caroline Ellison, his former ex-girlfriend, and Gary Wang and Nishad Singh, who were both involved in the formation of FTX. The penthouse is reportedly called the Orchid and is located in the Albany Club in the Bahamas, which is a development that has properties that are also owned by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake. It was designed by Morris Ajmi Architects and is decorated with Venetian plaster walls with matching Italian marble accents on top of an LED lighting system and a private garage. And as you can see from these photos, it is a very, very swanky place to live. And this is really quite interesting because Sam Bankman-Fried presented himself to the outside world as an altruistic individual who is not interested in material assets. He wasn't in this game to make a lot of money. He just wanted to do it for the intellectual challenge. And he said that he would have been happy to give away 99% of his wealth and only live on a $100,000 salary per year, because he wasn't after the trappings of a luxurious lifestyle. But when you look at these photos and think about him living here with 8 of his pals from FTX, it doesn't really feel like that was a genuine sentiment. So I think most people would agree that that penthouse is the definition of the life of luxury. You know you've made it in life if you're living somewhere like that. But unfortunately for Sam Bankman-Fried, he no longer resides in that apartment. He's now living at Fox Hill Prison in the Bahamas. Now, Fox Hill Prison is the only prison on the island and doesn't have a very good reputation. The prison is home to around 1,000 inmates, and unfortunately for Sam Bankman-Fried, they don't have their own cells. Everybody has to share. Now, he's used to that from the penthouse because he was sharing that arrangement with 8 or 9 other people. But this is a much smaller situation. The average cell size is 6 feet by 10 feet and houses up to 6 different inmates on bunk beds. Now, these rooms are technically en suite, but unfortunately, everybody has to share the toilet and there's no door or even any walls. Sam Bankman-Fried's parents, who were recently dragged into the fraud allegations when it was revealed that some of the property in the Bahamas had actually been registered in their names, have flown over to the Bahamas to visit their son at the Fox Hill Prison. Joseph Bankman, 67, and wife Barbara Fried were there to put money into his prison account so he can buy items from the jail commissary. Barbara Fried was spotted clutching a bag from upscale Solomon's Fresh Market, appearing to bring supplies for the vegan diet her son claimed was one reason why he shouldn't be locked up. Unfortunately, Sam Bankman-Fried's parents were not allowed to visit their son, and a spokesman for the prison said, "We allow family of inmates with restrictive diets to bring in meals every day. However, this is not a privilege we have given to Sam Bankman-Fried. And the prison itself is catering to his dietary needs. He's getting fruit and vegetables." Now, it's been reported that Sam Bankman-Fried spent his first 2 days in jail in the sick bay to analyse his medical conditions, but it's likely that he will be released back into the general population and will enter one of the cells that you saw earlier in this video. A report undertaken by the US on the facility in 2021 was fairly damning. Inmates removed human waste by bucket, the government report noted of the jail, where often six inmates are crammed into tiny cells that are only 6 feet by 10 feet. Some inmates developed bed sores from lying on bare ground, the report said, of harsh conditions from overcrowding, poor nutrition, inadequate sanitation, and inadequate medical care. Sanitation was a general problem, and cells were infested with rats, maggots, and insects, the State Department noted. In addition to this, the Nassau Guardian newspaper said it saw rodents firsthand during a 2019 tour, with a prison guard confirming that rats run up and down all day, every day. Dogs don't deserve to live in the state that maximum security is in, the officer told the newspaper. Fox Hill Prison is regarded as so bad that some inmates have begged to be extradited to the USA just to escape it. Many believe Bankman-Fried, who signalled his plans to fight extradition, should do the same, even though he faces a maximum of 115 years in prison if convicted on all 8 federal charges. Now, one of the big questions that remains to be answered is, where is everybody else? Where are all of the other FTX executives? All the guys who are living in the penthouse with Sam Bankman-Fried and having a great time and apparently paying for Amazon to deliver things by private jet, the Bahamas, all of those guys, where have they gone to? Why have they not been arrested yet? And nobody really knows the answer to that just now. Caroline Ellison is Sam Bankman-Fried's former girlfriend, who was appointed at the age of 28 to be the sole chief executive of the Alameda Research Hedge Fund.
After college, I worked at Jane Street for about a year and a half trading equities. It was pretty different from crypto, a much more efficient market, much more automated trading systems, kind of, you know, tweaking details of bots that are, you know, doing millions of trades on all these equity exchanges. After I'd been working there for a bit, I talked to Sam, who had just started Alameda, and he convinced me that it was an exciting opportunity, so I decided to take a chance on it.
Now, Alameda Research is obviously a company that's right at the heart of all of this investigation, because a lot of the customer funds seem to have made their way over to Alameda Research, who then have used the money for a variety of different things, most of which has disappeared and doesn't have any residual value. So in a normal investigation, you would have expected the chief executive of Alameda Research to be the number one candidate that the investigators want to bring in and interview to find out exactly what was going on. Now, there's been no disclosure or leakages in the press as to the whereabouts of Caroline Ellison, but there is speculation that she could potentially be already helping the authorities, that there is a possibility that she has helped put this case together against Sam Bankman-Fried in order for these charges to be raised. Now, there's no confirmation of that, but it does seem very unusual in these days of social media and everybody being papped and tracked and posted online all the time that nobody has seen anything of her. Nobody is aware where she is. I am sure the paparazzi are trying to locate her somewhere in the world. And maybe she is very good at hiding, or maybe she's already helping everybody out with this investigation. Nishad Singh, he was officially the chief engineer at FTX and also became a billionaire at the time when FTX was valued at $32 billion. Has now been identified as one of the individuals at FTX who changed the coding of the systems to enable Alameda Research to have unlimited access to FTX's funds. It's claimed that in mid-2020, FTX's chief engineer made a secret change to the cryptocurrency exchange's software. He tweaked the code to exempt Alameda Research from a feature on the trading platform that would have automatically sold off Alameda's assets if it was losing too much borrowed money. In a note explaining the change, Nishad Singh emphasized that FTX should never sell Alameda's positions. Be careful not to liquidate, Singh wrote in the comments in the platform's code, which it showed he helped author. The exemption allowed Alameda to keep borrowing funds from FTX, irrespective of the value of the collateral securing those loans. The Securities and Exchange Commission said the tweak meant that Alameda had a virtually unlimited line of credit. Furthermore, billions of dollars that FTX secretly lent to Alameda over the next 2 years didn't come from its own reserve, but rather were other FTX customer deposits. The third executive who is intrinsically involved in FTX is Gary Wang, and he's also disappeared off the face of the earth. Nobody knows where any of these guys are. And it's really unusual because normally in a situation like this, the management team would all be indicted in the charges. But the only person who's been identified so far is Sam Bankman-Fried. So does that mean that the other people are already helping with the investigation, or that they are just simply on the run? Nobody really knows, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks and months. Now, as more and more information comes out about actually what was happening in FTX, and we're seeing more details about the lack of regulation and authorities and rules and protection and management and record keeping and all of the other things that you would have expected should have been going on, the regulators are now jumping up and down with fury. And it looks like crypto is coming into laser vision for all of these guys. And I think over the course of the next 6 or 12 months, we will see a lot of rules and regulations starting to be introduced because at the heart of this corporate failure is customer losses. Over $7 billion is still unaccounted for. And in reality, it's likely that most of that money has disappeared. So the individual people who had their money on that platform, who were buying and selling crypto and holding it in their digital wallet, are likely to see no return whatsoever. They're going to be wiped out. And there is absolutely zero protection in place currently for any of those investors. So they won't be able to call upon any sort of insurance scheme to get anything back on their investment. So I think it's likely that the regulators will now have to step in and put some form of controls into place to try to regulate what's going on in the crypto markets. The Financial Stability Oversight Council has stated that interconnections between crypto firms and traditional financial institutions currently remain limited. However, entanglements could rapidly increase and put the broader system at risk. In their annual report, they stated that crypto asset activities could pose risks to the US financial system if their interconnections with the traditional finance system or their overall scale were to grow without adherence to or being paired with appropriate regulation. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen went on to say that recent crypto market developments have demonstrated the importance of Congress and regulators acting on the report's recommendations. So I'll keep an eye on what's happening, but I think it's highly likely that the regulators will now be focusing in on crypto. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been following the story of what's been happening with FTX. And this started off as a crypto story. We were looking at what was going on in the world of crypto, which has obviously had a bad year in 2022. The markets have fallen significantly. A lot of people are nursing losses. And initially, it looked like FTX was just a victim of a fall in the market. That this was a business that got its cash management wrong, got itself into financial difficulty and had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But as we've got further into this story, it's changed from just being a story about cryptocurrency to being a story that's potentially one of the biggest frauds that we've seen in the USA in the last 20 years. And the more information that comes out, the more damning it looks for Sam Bankman-Fried. John Ray is a very experienced bankruptcy practitioner who's going through things systematically. And he's come out at a very early stage in his investigation and said that he sees this as good old-fashioned embezzlement. So it's not even a question in his mind. He's already saying that this is categorically fraud. And of course, Sam Bankman-Fried, as the chief executive and the founder, and also the founder and the owner of Alameda Research, which is at the heart of the missing $7 billion, is right in the spotlight in terms of taking this responsibility. And of course, he's just done a tour of all of the media outlets over the course of the last couple of weeks, admitting that mistakes were made in the business, that there were no risk management systems, that he didn't have anybody in control of the Alameda Research exposure. So he's essentially admitted to all of these things in advance. So things are looking really, really bleak for Sam Bankman-Fried. And the reason I wanted to make this video, which is a bit more lighthearted than some of the other videos that I've posted, is really to put everything into perspective. Because the reason that most of us toe the line, we do things by the rules, by the book, we follow what's legal, we don't want to do things that are illegal, that are going to cause us trouble, is because of the repercussions, the ramifications, the payback. And that's exactly what Sam Bankman-Fried is experiencing right now. He's had a gifted life up until this point. He was born into an intelligent, wealthy family. He was brought up well. He went to a good school. He went to a really good college. He got a good degree. He then started on Wall Street and he was making a lot of money in his 20s. This is a guy who became a billionaire before the age of 30. So he had the world at his feet. That is everything that you would want from life. But for whatever reason, that wasn't enough for Sam Bankman-Fried. He wanted to take it to another level. And unfortunately, the way that he did that appears to have been criminal. It looks like it was fraudulent. And now he's having to pay the price. And unfortunately for him, the evidence is building on a daily basis. And it looks likely that he could very well be convicted of all of these fraud charges. And if he does, he will spend the rest of his life in jail. So I really wanted to give you the perspective that yes, he's lived the high life and we saw the penthouse that he was living in. He was living the dream for many, many people. But unfortunately, that dream has turned into an absolute nightmare. And the rest of his life, the majority of his life, he may well live until he's 70 or 80. So another 40 or 50 years could well be spent behind bars in a grim existence. And I don't think any of us would swap our lives for that. He may well have had some great times over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, but the next 50 or 60 years are not looking too much fun. But the other big question here is, did he really do all of this on his own? Was he a genius mastermind behind everything and nobody else had a clue? Or were these other individuals implicated and involved? And if so, why are they not sitting alongside him in the Bahamas in jail? That may well transpire that some of these individuals are already helping the authorities with their investigations. But if they're not, then I am sure somebody is looking for them. I'm sure they will be hit with some charges at some point, because it seems impossible for one individual to be able to orchestrate something of this size and nature without anybody else being involved. So as always, I'll keep you informed if there's any further news and developments on this story. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.